Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the Jacksonville Jaguars on the passing game breakdowns. So I think there's some notable things here in terms of looking at the passing game. Out, you have Doug Marrone. Out, Jay Gruden. In, Urban Meyer, head coach. In, Darrell Bevell. Now, Darrell Bevell has an extensive amount of offensive coordinator experience. He's basically been an offensive coordinator going back to 2006, he all but basically 1 year. He sat out the 2018 season. Notably, he was the play caller on the team that threw the ball there down at the 1 yard line. I guess it was when they lost to the Patriots there. That was the Russell Wilson throw. He was the offensive coordinator at that time. So just keep that in mind, I guess, if you're thinking way back now, that is where that name might ring a bell from. He then landed on his feet. He was popularly thought of as a potential offensive head coach, right? As a head coach back in that time. Never really came to fruition. And it's tough to wonder, you go back to that 14-15 season, that's when that whole thing happened there down, and he chose to throw on the goal line there in the Super Bowl. It was a pick six pick that sealed the game by Malcolm Butler, and that probably tainted some of his resume. But I think largely it was a pretty good resume up until that point. And I remember thinking like, hey, he has a potential head coaching future in his future, that he had potential that coming to him. And you sort of look at that time, in terms of points through that string of time with Seattle, 18th in points. That was 2011, third, second, fourth, sixth, 13th in terms of points there. So top half of the league, again, you get attached to a good quarterback, you can do a lot of those things, right? So that's certainly, he does have a history of that. Time in Detroit, not quite as good. 24th, 30th in terms of points. Some of that, Stafford was injured. There was, some of the Matt Patricia stuff wasn't great. So I don't know how deep of conclusions you draw from that. I would note he's been particularly run heavy, or let's say this, particularly not pass friendly through his time in Seattle. Again, is that Pete Carroll? Is that Darrell Bevell? I mean, it changes a little bit. So through basically his first portion of his career, 5 seasons in Minnesota and then 7 in Seattle, he ranked in the top 10 in passing attempts just twice. That was his first year in Minnesota and then his fourth year in Minnesota. That was 2009, so a while ago now. And then you sort of look, he's in the 20s all throughout his time in Seattle, in the 30s in terms of passing attempts rate. He's got a 25th, 32nd, 31st, 32nd, 28th, and then 18th and 16th in his last 2 years in Seattle. So basically just gets back to median there during those couple of times. And notably, it's the first real time that he ever ranked close to or better in terms of passing attempts rank in the league compared to his rushing attempts rank in the league. So last 2 years in Seattle, he had the 18th and the 16th most passing attempts in the league. And in that time, the rushing attempts were 20th and 21st. So that's actually the only time he's really ahead outside of really, really early on that first season there in Minnesota, dating back to 2006. So that's quite a while ago. And he's in his early 50s now, but he's got a pretty lengthy resume as an offensive coordinator for being that age. So 14 years, he was in his mid 30s when he became an offensive coordinator. So there's a long track record here. Some of the stuff with the passing attempts, it's been pretty capped. I will say those teams were ahead, right? They had good point scoring margins. As you look back to Detroit, the past couple of years there in Detroit, it was 2019, 2020. He ranked 17th and 13th in passing attempts those two seasons. In rushing attempts, 16th, and then 30th his last year there in Detroit, which would have been 2020. So I will say, like, there is a fair amount of, and that would have been last year, it's pretty malleable. I think you could point to it and say, yeah, he ran a lot because they were winning, right? Those were the, that was the Legion of Boom era back there in Seattle. So, you know, we'll see there. I don't think this is going to be that level of team. So we'll watch for, you know, what the splits are. I think it's going to be more pass friendly because of what we're expecting this team not to be particularly good. The offensive line, I think, is notable here. Some strength on the interior, but some weaknesses on the edge. So Cam Robinson, 44th in terms of PFF grade, in terms of pass blocking last year. Juwan Taylor, their right tackle, 63rd. So he's right near the bottom of the league. I think there's like five guys worse than him in terms of qualifiers. So not great there in terms of that. The interior of the offensive line, pretty good. You've got their center, best pass blocking grade, only played 9 games last year, so hope to have him back healthy. That's Brandon Linder. Andrew Norwell was their left guard, 5th in terms of PFF blocking. AJ Cann, 14th in terms of pass blocking on right guard. So good in the interior, struggle on the edges. You have basically a franchise tag as well on Cam Robinson, so kind of on a prove-it deal here with the with Jacksonville. So not a great set of line and supporting cast there for the new quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, but there's some pieces to build around, and we'll see if they can maybe improve at tackle. The team did make some notable additions in free agency. I'm not sure how significant they are for Dynasty, but in terms of building around a quarterback, I kind of like what they did, honestly. So they added Philip Dorsett, more of a speed threat. Didn't play last year, but you've got him. I think that's at least interesting. They added Laquon Treadwell. Again, I don't think that's going to do much, but I more like the approach, I guess. Farrell Cooper, they added as well. He's more of a gadget guy. Return probably game is, it'd be more where he's thinking. You know, added Marvin Jones. I think that's really, really savvy add. They lost Keelan Cole in free agency to the Jets. They also lost Clay. They added Chris Manhertz as well as a tight end, and added Carlos Hyde. I think the Hyde addition probably was not necessarily needed now that you brought in Travis Etienne. But at the time, right, it kind of was, hey, you're bringing in kind of a culture guy, knew Urban Meyer from playing for him at Ohio State, sort of bringing in a system guy. We'll see there in terms of what he adds. Again, this is more of a passing game show here altogether, but I think it's notable there. Yeah, he could be a camp cut guy. I think just monitor. He's a human hand grenade monitor watch list guy. In terms of the draft, they did add, so they added Walker Little, a tackle out of Stanford. So that's notable. To potentially shore up some of the edges of the offensive line. They also added Luke Farrell out of Ohio State on day 3 at tight end. And obviously the big additions there, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne as being the new core of the offense. I'll be interested to see what role Etienne truly plays. I think he's projects probably better in the passing game than Robinson does. And I think that's kind of where they've talked about using him and certain, some of the Percy Harvin type roles and that sort of stuff, harkening back to some of Urban Meyer's early stays or early coaching jaunts in college. So we'll see there in terms of what that ultimately looks like. In terms of some of the offensive efficiencies, I think we can draw some stuff from Detroit. So we talked about Daryl Bevell a little bit. Overall, I'm not sure how much that's going to, again, like I said, I don't know how much it's going to ultimately carry over. Different quarterback, different scheme, different, totally different situation, different head coach, all that stuff. They ranked 6th in terms of designed passes last year, basically 66.4%. So essentially 2/3 of that offense was dropped back passing or was intended passes, designed passes. 24.7% play action, that's 19th. So you'd like to see that get a little bit better in terms of going up, helping out a young rookie quarterback. They did have a 26.8 8% improvement in play action over non-play action yards per attempt. That's 10th. So it was a little bit more effective. Again, that's more of a, it's kind of a quarterback stat too. So just be kind of careful on that. And expecting a ton there to carry over. I think that's more quarterback stuff. When you look at the how the offense was split up, 0.8 running back routes per drop back, 0.16 targets per drop back for the running backs, 0.13 receptions per drop back, and 1.03 yards per drop back. When you look how that ranks, 20th, 11th, 12th, but 7th in terms of running back yards per drop back. So that is probably a good sign for DeAndre Swift, more so maybe than anything else, but that's a sign of some production. In terms of wide receiver routes, 2.5 wide receiver routes, 0.45 targets per drop back, 0.3 receptions per drop back, 3.95 yards per drop back. That is a little bit worse in terms of how that ranked. 28th in terms of wide receiver routes per drop back, 25th in terms of targets per drop back, 24th in terms of receptions per drop back, 23rd in terms of yards per drop back. They didn't have a particularly good receiving core outside of Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay. So, you know, and Galladay banged up as well the later parts of his career in Detroit. So we'll see there. The carryover with Marvin Jones, I think, notable. Targets for the tight ends, 1.01 routes per drop back. So essentially one tight end out in the route per drop back, 0.19 targets per drop back, 0.13 receptions per drop back, and then 1.4 yards per drop back. When you look at how that ranks, pretty much middle of the pack, 21st in terms of routes per drop back, but 15th in terms of targets, 16th in terms of receptions per drop back, and 15th in terms of yards. So pretty much neutral. Again, I'm not sure there's a huge, person that I would say, hey, listen, like here's going to be the tight end that's going to be really productive for them. I don't necessarily know if we have that here with Jacksonville, and it's a much different system there because they had Kenny Galladay. They had Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones, and Hockenson. So a little bit different there in terms of the alignment and the talent. I would say this team probably has more diversity and capability at the receiver position than Detroit did. When we look at some of the advanced stats here for the receivers, Laviska Shenault, 13.6% target share, only 14 games there for him. So again, that goes up a little bit higher if he plays in 16 games. So we're looking, 16-17%, somewhere in that range we would expect. So, we'll see. That's going to need to grow for him to be truly viable. But 1.55 yards per route run, that's okay for a rookie wide receiver. Doesn't blow anyone away. But that's a decent showing there. Colin Johnson had a smaller role. 1.6 yards per route run. He played 14 games, only 5% of their targets. James Robinson, 1.2 yards per route run. That's fine. 9.9% of their targets. Again, that's not bad for a running back there. We'll see how that grows and evolves with Etienne. I would expect him to probably take over that amount of roles. 56 targets there for Robinson last year. Again, lost 83 targets from Keelan Cole. I think one of the big players we're going to watch for here is DJ Shark. 92 targets last year, 16.3% of their targets. That's 13 games. So again, if he stays healthy, could that be 21, 22%, something like that? We'll see there. Again, it's going to balance out with some of the growth of Shenault. You added Marvin Jones. I don't know if I love any particular person. I know I've had a couple people reach out to me that Laviska Shenault shows up pretty well in the comp engine. So I think we could pass that along as being decent. We're adding a couple more stats because I think before we have a full idea, he has prompted some inclusion of some slot route stuff, which I think is interesting in terms of how much of the work comes from the slot. I think it'll be valuable to be able to sort by that, as well as some of the ADOT stuff. So I think looking at those things, I think it'll be pretty interesting for some additional guys. So look for that here in the next coming days as well. Outside of that, you know, there's not a ton to note, I think, in terms of the passing game. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Marvin Jones, I think the big questions here, Marvin Jones, Laviska Shenault, DJ Shark, how does that sort of look ultimately? Is going to be a big thing in terms of how that split is. You know, Shark has a hit on his resume and, you know, kind of had a little bit of a lost year last year. I'll be interested to see too with the addition of Lawrence, what that might do for the arc of Gardner Minshew's career, whether he ends up someplace else as a, you know, as a bridge type guy, or is he maybe not necessarily for Indianapolis, but is he a quarterback gets injured in training camp and he comes in type of guy? Like, if, for example, the injury to Dak Prescott is worse than we think, is he a potential quarterback that could go in and be, you know, lend starts, lend a hand there? Especially if you lose someone like in the off season, right? So if a quarterback goes down, you know, for just example, not wishing ill on anyone, but Ryan Tannehill goes down right now, is Gardner Minshew a potential candidate? Maybe not necessarily in division, but you sort of get the idea. I think that those things could be a potential pivot there for Minshew to get onto a second act, which I think he probably deserves. Again, I don't know if he's a full-on starting quarterback. He lacks some in terms of some of the advanced metrics, but there's not a ton of guys walking the face of the earth that could be a franchise quarterback. And then there's a bunch of guys that are, you know, we're kind of filling in the void there for guys that aren't franchise quarterbacks. And he sort of fits more in that group, I think, you know, the Andy Dalton phase of Andy Dalton's career, that type of thing, but a little bit younger. So we'll see. I think that's going to be an interesting watch there. Not sure I have a good feeling on the tight end position ultimately. I don't know. O'Shaughnessy's, I guess, interesting. They did trade Josh Oliver to Baltimore. So that would have been one that's, I think, more interesting from like a passing game perspective. Luke Farrell's, I think, thought to be more of a blocking type really than anything else. So, you know, we'll see how that all looks, but they have the makings of at least an interesting receiving core, and maybe it's not necessarily a high-end one, but a fantasy-producing one. You know, I think your hopes are there for Shark and Shenault, but I think it's diverse enough. You've got some different skill sets that could actually make it not horrible situation for a rookie quarterback to come into. So that would sort of be my optimism there, I guess, on the Trevor Lawrence side of this. So looking at some of the football guys' projections here in terms of projecting guys for a season-long finish. At quarterback, you've got Trevor Lawrence. He's projected to finish 16th, so firmly in the quarterback two. And again, if you took him in rookie drafts, that's definitely interesting in terms of, hey, it's not hurting. I don't know how helpful it is ultimately. Is it going to change your franchise this year? Probably not, but, you know, that's helpful, especially if you earn the 101 and you are a team that, you know, had some holes or whatever. Lawrence, you figure, could come in and maybe half a game warp, something like that. Be pretty helpful to a team that is in need of some quarterback production. The receivers, I think, interesting. Shark and Shenault, 37th and 38th at Football Guys in terms of the consensus projection. You know, I think that's 16 rushes is the projection for Shenault as well. I think that's a notable one that some folks have thought about. 66 receptions projected for Shark, 68 for Shenault. Marvin Jones, 61.8, 800 yards, and 5.7 touchdowns, so just sort of 6 touchdowns, a 44th. I do think if you're sort of like, hey, you know, what's a bet you might want to make in terms of thinking about bets? If you want to make a bet against the growth of Shark or Shenault, I think either one of them, you could say, hey, like, I think Marvin Jones, we know what Marvin Jones can do, and he can absolutely play. Again, he's going to be older. He's 31. But in terms of bridge guys, like that's a wide receiver four that has high end wide receiver two, maybe low end wide receiver, or high end wide receiver three type upside if things broke his way in a volume perspective. So keep that name in mind. Pretty cheap there down the dial in terms of where he's going overall. So you look at the analytics of Dynasty Real Draft Position Tracker, and you've got Marvin Jones all the way down in the double digit rounds, not surprisingly, 1604. He's wide receiver 70 in terms of his RDP. So that's pretty it's pretty cheap. I mean, that's the area of the draft where you're looking for guys like Jacoby Myers, Dunn, Nico Collins, De'Ami Brown, Dwayne Askridge, Nelson Aguilar. Interesting. You know, they similar a little bit in terms of what they could potentially offer this year. So I think that's interesting. And then he's going behind guys like Christian Kirk. And so that's kind of the range in which he fits in. Again, if you sort of need some production this year, some stability, backfilling a position, throwing Marvin Jones in as an add-on to a trade, I think is pretty savvy at this point, especially if you think Lawrence is good, which I think he's good, but I think he can support the value of wide receivers. My sort of question is the ultimate, eliteness of him. But you figure from a high floor perspective, like he could come in and be a guy that can, isn't going to necessarily fall on his face. Shark, 37th in terms of RDP. That's basically about where he's going in terms of projection. That's notable. Laviska Shenault, 31.5. That's the eighth round. So a little bit ahead of where he's going. He's going right next to Juju Smith-Schuster, as a matter of fact. When you look overall at the quarterback position, again, it's a little bit too pricey there for me with Lawrence. He's at quarterback 7. I think I'm not sure that this will happen, but I think that there's a chance with some of the offseason stuff going on with Dak Prescott. If you sort of look at maybe like the last 10 to 12 drafts of the year, like you could see Trevor Lawrence potentially go ahead of Dak Prescott. Again, that seems to me like a potential value opportunity. He's going a half a round ahead of Russell Wilson, for example. Trey Lance is up to 2.05. He's vaulting, and we'll get some more drafts here coming up in the next few days or so, which I bet that's going to go even higher with some of the words coming out of San Francisco's camp. Looking also, I'll just update on ETN and James Robinson. ETN is 15.5. He's going 408. Again, we're doing primarily passing game stuff, but we can mention them because we're here and we like running backs. James Robinson, I actually added him in a trade. He was a throw in a back end of a deal. I was kind of moving around guys that didn't think I was going to move the needle. I got Lamar Jackson in start one, had a need at quarterback. Someone just came to me and offered me Lamar Jackson. We're like, yeah, we can do this. Kicked it around the AOD chat a little bit. And James Robinson was one of the guys I got back. So 28.5 in terms of his RDP, ninth round. And again, that's going in the range of guys like he's going after Michael Carter. We know that James Robinson can play. Chase Edmonds is in that range as well. Damian Harris. So it's an interesting range in terms of he's going behind guys that I think are less, that don't have a ton of pedigree, that haven't shown much, but ahead of guys that project as potential week one starters. So I think that's a pretty notable one. He's going, for example, ahead of Mike Davis, Damian Harris, and Chase Edmonds. So, all right, well, I'll do it for the passing game breakdown here for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.